my generation was different. These kids, they don't care about school. Welcome back to Teacher Tales, where we give you the keys to overcoming teacher burnout to find work-life balance and educational bliss, if it still exists. On this episode of Teacher Tales, we enlist the help of a website, EdWeek or educationweek.org to be exact, titled Stop Saying These Kids Don't Care About School by Lori Putnam. This title sparked something for me, and I believe it will do the same for you. So, let's give it a go. A crisis of school absences, said a recent New York Times headline. White House urges schools to address absenteeism amid troubling data, proclaimed a Washington Post headline. A quick Google search reveals scores of articles that detail the epidemic of chronic absenteeism from our schools. These articles consider the causes and solutions to this troubling trend, suggesting we meet this challenge with remedies that range from the technical, such as incentivizing attendance, to the adaptive, building relationships and making learning more relevant. Yet, when I'm in classrooms, hallways, or in community conversations, I often hear a pervasive and disturbing comment, mostly absent from the media coverage of absenteeism. Perhaps you too have heard it. It goes a little something like this. These kids just don't care. Kids don't care is a sentiment shared by many educators, politicians, and onlookers. Sometimes it's expressed in an aggrieved aside, occasionally in an exacerbated exclamation. It's a narrative that underscores deeper issues within our educational system and society at large. At best, this short sentence buries the real challenges of daily survival that many of our students face. At worst, it glosses over systemic barriers by heaping the blame for chronic absenteeism on those least at fault and most in need of our compassion and faith. The assumption that young people don't care creates a barrier between educators and students and reflects our failure to address the root causes of student disengagement. When we dismiss students with the blanket statement, "These kids don't care," we overlook the complex interplay of factors shaping many of our students' lives that can appear as apathy from outside. Economic instability, mental health challenges, racism, and classism can all play a role in shaping the child's educational journey, which begins at birth. By reducing these complexities to a single dismissive statement, we perpetuate cycles of marginalization. Moreover, the kids don't care narrative undermines the potential of our youth. It disregards the countless students who overcome adversity, demonstrate resilience, and attain academic excellence despite facing immense challenges. In the district I lead and across the country, many of our families lack access to the resources and face generational systemic barriers. Too many of our students face violence in the streets and at home, and we're concerned about their safety when they're not in our schools. Many students don't have stable places to live, and their food security ends when the school doors close. As leaders in learning communities, we must challenge this harmful myth and recognize the inherent worth and potential of every child. Instead of labeling students as apathetic, we must seek to understand the underlying factors influencing their critical unmet needs. We then must provide the necessary support systems to help them thrive. This requires a concerted effort from educators, policymakers, families, and community members to address systemic inequalities and create environments where every child feels connected and valued. Research in educational psychology sheds light on the drivers of student motivation emphasizing the importance of autonomy, competence, and relatedness. When students feel a sense of control over their learning, believe in their ability to succeed, and have meaningful connections with teachers and peers, they are more likely to engage actively in their education. The kids don't care narrative, which positions students as the problem, erodes students' sense of agency and belonging and fractures the relationship necessary to the learning process. In my district, initiatives aimed at fostering student engagement and empowerment have been crucial in addressing chronic absenteeism. Though we are a work in progress, we've seen pockets of success with an increase in student daily attendance this school year. Ultimately, the dangers of perpetuating the myth "these kids don't care" extend far beyond the walls of the classroom. It's a reflection of broader attitudes toward youth and education, poverty and self-sufficiency, race and systemic disparities. It undermines our collective responsibility to nurture future generations. Challenging this narrative takes courage and commitment. As educators, it is our responsibility to embrace the students we serve and demand the same of our colleagues and leaders. By instead embracing a mindset of empathy, empowerment, and high expectations, we create more inclusive schools, places where students want to be each day. So that was the article by Lori Putnam about challenging the myths that student disengagement is because they don't care. Chronic absenteeism is because they don't care. In this article, obviously, like you all just heard, she challenges that a lot of the difficulties they face are out of their control, and that's where the absenteeism occurs. That's when kids start to disengage, when they are coming from a place that is unsafe or a place where people are hungry, a place where there is distress happening. And I would argue that none of that is new. Quality of life has gone up. Crime has gone down in many places. The statistics in America will show that. But I would say that there is definitely more emphasis on these kinds of things, largely because of the world that we live in today and how technology has changed everything. Because now we can see it instead of hearing the stories and maybe thinking, oh, you know, that's just one case, or, you know, that's not everybody's story, or that's not a majority of people's story. But when you start to see it and hear it more often, and since mental health has become such a major focus in our society as well, now we start to see that these things are also applying to the children, the youth of now. So understanding the root causes was thing number one. So the systemic inequalities and the economic instability, definitely, 100%, obviously, contribute to what happens in schools. I work in a school where it is very diverse, where we do have people who are just flat out rich. I've seen like the houses of these kids, you know, they show pictures or whatever. And then you have some people who are just flat out broke, who are in the foster system, or whose parents don't take care of them. They're gone. You know, they are being taken care of by some grandparent or somebody else, or they're fending for themselves. I know in my own personal life that there have been times where it has been very difficult, not through any fault of my own, but, you know, you're born into the situation that you're born into, and what can you do about it except trying to make the most of it? By recognizing these root causes as educators can better help us address our students and their critical unmet needs and provide some necessary support systems. I'm not saying that you have to bring food for every kid that enters your classroom, but it does help to have some of those small things if you can, it does help to be able to understand the patterns of the kids who are maybe sleeping all the time. Maybe being able to ask those questions allows you to find out, oh, dang, they're working. They have a family to help support. So understanding these root causes for your kids in your classrooms will 100% help. The second thing was empowering students. So Putnam emphasizes the value that empowering students and fostering an environment where they feel connected and valued and in control of their learning helps them to essentially buy in a little bit more. Now, I think a lot of teachers have tried to put things in place that would help this, like the teacher next door to me, Osman, he was on here before. He talked about like a menu, a sub menu. So when he's out, kids can choose what assignments they do. And because he is an excellent sponsor, he is out a great deal when they have to do stuff like rodeo and show animals. Having kids have the opportunity to have autonomy helps them to feel like they're in a little bit more control. Whereas vice versa, a lot of times in class, they feel like they have no control in what they learn, how they learn it, what works for them. And as a teacher, there's a delicate balance that we are trying to strike where we want to give them responsibility, but also we have a class to teach, we have a schedule, we have a curriculum. So finding that balance in your curriculum and what you can do and being creative will help to provide the opportunities for autonomy, for mastery, and meaningful connections that significantly impact student engagement and well-being. Because when they buy in, now it's a total different ballgame. Educator, listening, you know what I'm talking about. When the kid goes, this makes sense to me, or I can use this, or I understand how this applies to my life, or in the grand scheme of things. You know, there's a totally different classroom when those things start to happen. So it is important that we do our best to empower our students, building those relationships, finding places to create those opportunities for autonomy where they get to choose something. You know, make them feel like they are in control, even if they're really not. Like, we know the real deal. But that can be difficult. But finding those places is important. Last thing was challenging harmful narratives. So the article urges us educators to challenge these narratives when they pop up, like these kids don't care. Rejecting these myths allow us to embrace empathy and to put ourselves in the kids' shoes. I know that now, a lot of kids are playing the GPA game. They're playing the college game, the resume game. They're trying to figure out how this is all going to work. And as much as we like to think, we know that what's going on in our classrooms and how college works and education, a lot of us haven't been in school or haven't graduated college in 10 years, 15 years, 25 years. And it is different. It is different, the challenges that they face. So trying to figure that out and navigate it is difficult. Now, educators can create a more inclusive and supportive learning environment, supportive learning communities with our wonderful, esteemed children, by being more empathetic and trying to understand and not always saying, well, back in my day or when I was in school, okay, listen to them. Let's do our best to put ourselves in their shoes, as difficult as it may be. However, we can still hold the expectation high. That's one thing that Putnam did offer, is that we need to, as we empower them and we embrace empathy, also still have high expectations for these children and for the other educators around us to create this environment that we wish to teach in, right? We want people to understand us as educators and be empathetic and be in tune to our mental health. Well, we must also afford our students and the other educators around us this same courtesy. So hopefully you all got a lot from that article. I don't think that this is really new information. However, after I read it, I was like, huh, okay. I think this is something that other educators may want to talk about, want to chime in on. So, quick recap before we get out of here. Number one, understand the root causes. Kids are going through stuff, just like us as adults are going through stuff. Try to understand. Number two, empower your students. Create some kind of autonomy in class to help them buy in and feel like they have some control. And lastly, number three, challenge harmful narratives. If there are things out there, you don't have to just go with the flow. Go, I don't think so. You can do it. Empower yourself to challenge harmful narratives. With that being said, that is our episode for today. Of course, I'll have someone else on, another educator, to talk about these things in detail. But until the next time, keep teaching, keep learning, and I will see you all on the next journey.